You're listening to Consider This, episode 190, for August 14, 2017.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are. This is Consider This, and I'm Doug Payton, here with my conservative commentary and your feedback in 10 minutes or less. The website can be found at considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. That's CT as in Cooperative Telecommunications. That's sort of the topic this week. This is actually my feedback to an episode of Congressional Dish, hosted by Jennifer Briney. Jennifer does the work of finding out what bills are going through Congress and brings you the in-a-nutshell versions of them to you, so you can find out what they're doing for you or to you. Her recent episode was about a project called FirstNet, a program designed to create a new nationwide wireless network just for first responders, so they aren't blocked during emergencies because of everyone using their phones to find out if loved ones are okay. This project was started in the wake of 9/11 and may come to fruition soon. She was glad to hear that this was happening, but was concerned over the corruption that was part of the beginning of this process, and that the for-profit corporation AT&T was getting the contract. Because, as she put it, AT&T puts profits first and customers, in this case first responders, down on the list. This is my response, mostly to the economic aspect of her concern, and how the free market has not been allowed to work properly, and the result is that we're in this monopolistic mess. I greatly encourage you to listen to her episode for the context of this feedback, and subscribe to our podcast. The link is in the show notes. Hello there, Jennifer. I'm Doug Payton, another podcaster. Mine is called Consider This. It's my 10-minute or less conservative commentary. As a conservative, I wanted to give my feedback on your recent episode about FirstNet. First of all, thanks so much for bringing this topic to our attention. I, for one, had no idea this was even a thing. Like you, I like the fact that this is happening, but also, like you, I'm concerned about how it's happening. Right off the bat, even though I'm a small government conservative, I want to say that this makes sense for the government to do this. There are many things that the feds especially have taken upon themselves that I think should be state functions, but coordinating interstate emergency services seems very reasonable. That aspect I definitely agree with. As a conservative, I also want to bring up a couple of side points. First, you seem to think that Republicans and or conservatives, though the two aren't always the same thing, believe that private enterprise is always good and government is always evil. Not really. Here's the deal. Both private companies and government are populated by people. People in private enterprise and government can get greedy, both for money and power. There can be checks on that greed, but we have virtually neutered them. For private companies, the market can put a check on greed, a vibrant free market where there are many companies competing for your dollar, force prices down and quality up. Don't like the store you're buying your widgets from? Pick a new one. It's when those companies influence government to, for example, add regulations to make getting into the widget-making business prohibitively expensive that we wind up with less competition and the prices go up. Think the whole light bulb situation. It was simpler to make a regular old light bulb. But now that incandescent bulbs are outlawed, it's harder for new companies to get started in order to take on a General Electric. That's why companies like GE wanted those regulations. For the government, there is no competition. You can't just stay where you are and choose another government. Every so many years, you can try to vote a new one in, but you have far less influence. For government, then, the check on greed is distributing its power. Our founding fathers knew this from history, which is why we got states and why the Constitution enumerated the powers to the feds and specifically said that anything not given to them were powers reserved for the states or the people. The bigger the central government, the less representative it is. Further, the more powerful the central government, the more it is one-stop shopping for private companies that want special favors. Secondly, AT&T has the infrastructure in place because they make a profit. Shareholders are merely those who provided capital for AT&T to expand. As much as the stock market is about the fog of emotion and a reflection of the economy, basically smoke and mirrors, shouldn't those who got it right, either by luck or research or both, be rewarded? If not, then why would anyone ever invest? Profit in and of itself is not evil. The hole-in-the-wall restaurant's trying to be profitable. If they aren't, they can't afford to stay in business. They're not running a charity. At the same time, AT&T is what happens when government picks winners and losers in the market. It destroys the market, and we get crony capitalism, which really isn't capitalism. But it creates, as you noted, a behemoth that is too big to fail. So since we're speaking of first responders, this is like the government mandating that one manufacturing company build fire engines and hydrants. That way, all the hoses and hydrants would interoperate. That creates the behemoth. Instead, we have federal regulations, but no mandate as to who does it. So we have multiple companies building both, competition, which puts a check on greed. Okay, so let's keep that in mind when we're talking about FirstNet. Now, wireless towers, infrastructure, those services are all a different animal than just making a truck. But still, regulations on how the system must be implemented with requirements to interoperate, a legit government function, could then be used by states to determine who will get the contract. If we could do that, we wouldn't have one behemoth that, if it goes down, takes the whole system with it. The damage would be localized, rebuilding wouldn't require another nationwide effort. The opt-in, opt-out mechanism does give the states a choice, but as you noted, it's the path of least resistance. So without an impetus to do this, no requirement that they have to act, or a promise, they get a promise of all costs being paid by the feds if they don't, which is basically free stuff for the states, there's little downside for the states, at least in the short term. Problem is, crony capitalism has brought us a behemoth that is uniquely qualified, at least at this point, to do this, and has politicians bought and paid for. Getting out of this mess would require a return to actual market economics and smaller government, which this government really doesn't want because it makes graft harder. So anyway, big government brought us here. This is what happens. It has put all our eggs in one basket, as you noted, both from an AT&T side, but also from a FirstNet side. Getting out of this is much harder than it was taking decades to get into this. And I share your concern about Donald Trump being the top of the incredibly bureaucratic food chain of accountability. Which is why this should be a 50 states thing and not a monolithic federal thing. The guy at the top now isn't there forever, and the next president is, who knows? We've spent years giving our president the powers of a king, and now we don't like the current guy there. Now what? How about divesting power from the king? Yeah, the regulations can come from DC, but the power, the implementation, should be distributed. Regarding the issue of AT&T covering 99.6% of the population now, but also 99.6% later, two things. First, that's likely an attempt to hide that proprietary information that the guy wouldn't divulge. I think you're dead on right. How in the world is that information proprietary from a U.S. congressman? But second, since this is the same percentage and it's covered by a better network that also prioritizes first responders, that's a net gain. It's like regular gas versus premium. I have the same size gas tank, but I can have better gas in it. Population coverage is not the whole story. Now, 1.3 million people is nothing a hand wave away, and I share the concern that gaps will affect those out in the sticks. But if we go back to the idea of states getting bids, working from a federal standard, those states would have a vested interest in making sure their remote areas are covered and will prioritize that, unlike a federal behemoth in a contract with a telecom behemoth. I understand your frustration about how best to deal with this, given the situation in which we find ourselves, with one huge corporation with its fingers in so much of government. Well, the short answer is, whenever we ask a central government for a centralized solution, this sort of thing will result. Greed is found in all levels of government and private industry because they're populated with people. That's why we need to restrict the feds to the places where they are absolutely needed, things like national defense, interstate commerce, and reserve the rest of the power to the states of the people. And we need competition to flourish. Thanks again for your fantastic podcast. In the show notes for this episode, there is an extended transcript, more than what I said here. I got on a roll and I couldn't stop, but I pared it back as best I could. So that's it. As I said, check out my show notes, check out her podcast, and always consider this.